Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome in to the Scani Johnny podcast. I, again, am your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett. And with me, as per usual, Aaron Flottam. How are you today, Aaron?
Hey, John, how's it going? You got that apology ready for me about the Patriots? I'm expecting that by the end of the show here.
Well, you keep holding your breath on that. I didn't say that they wouldn't win. I don't think I owe anybody any apology on anything at this point.
Yeah, that's a good point. Actually, the only one who apologized for the Patriots around here is me. So
that's true. Anyhow, you are listening to the Scani Johnny podcast. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Google Play and any other number of places where you're looking for your podcast, Spotify and whatnot. If you are listening to us, please share us. Please give us a review on iTunes. You can, of course, also follow the show on Twitter at ScaniJohnny1. And you can follow me at JBarn54. And, of course, you can follow Aaron. And where can they follow you?
Well, they can find me, John, at the ever-increasing in popularity at Cheddar Talk. That's at Cheddar Talk, C-H-E-D-D-A-R-T-A-L-K, Cheddar Talk, almost a triple-digit Twitter followers now. I think my biggest problem is that every time I gain a follower, I promptly lose them within a day.
That's hard. That's a difficult life you live, Aaron. So, just
keep getting those Russian bots to follow me.
Of course. Yeah. Banner day all around. But we have some news here in Wisconsin. We have some good news and some good sports news, and we're going to get you updated here, and we'll start off with the main event. Starting things off with the main event. Aaron, as per usual, we start off our main event with Packers talk. And, of course, there were no games again played for the Packers. Not even Pro Bowl. Not even Pro Bowl. Yeah. So this week, though, we do have the Packers, again, starting to round out that head coaching, or not the head coaching, pardon me, the coaching staff. Alvis Whitted joined the Packers. He's the former Colorado State wide receiver coach. He will be the wide receivers coach for the Packers. And while he does not have specific ties to Sean McVay, he did coach a Rams team last year, so that's something.
And that's all that really matters anymore, John. All you have to have is that either you knew Sean McVay or the word Rams somewhere on your resume, and you will get hired as a coach in the NFL.
Yeah, it doesn't work for Belichick because all of his coordinators go off and become terrible.
Like this Flores guy, he's going to go down to their defensive coordinator. He's going to go down to Miami, and he'll be out in 3 years. I just know it.
You just wait till Bielema comes out of there and starts getting
all sorts of... Yeah. Oh, that's right. I forget Bielema's hanging out up in New England. Anyways.
Yeah. He was this guy, Alvis, not Elvis, Whitted. He's 44 years old, so he's the old man on the staff now. He did coach three wide receivers to All-American status over the last couple of years. That includes Rashad Higgins, Michael Gallup, and Preston Williams. He also was a wide receiver. He played in the NFL, although in a 9-season career, he had 74 receptions and 1,030 yards. He was a 7th-round pick. He's a guy who worked for the craft.
He was the gunner on the punt team.
Yeah, he's a guy who worked his way into the NFL, stayed in the NFL, and continued to have a career for quite a while there. And, you know, this guy counts for something. He knows the craft.
If you can pull off 9 years in the NFL, good for you. And, if he was a wide receiver, that means he was probably on special teams a lot. Hey, can he do special teams? Why'd we hire him as a wide receivers coach?
Well, we did also hire a special teams coordinator this week.
Whoa, no way.
Sean Meninga. And I'm imagining I'm pronouncing that correctly because why wouldn't I? He was the
because you're a lawyer and you're smart.
Yeah, we just busy mispronouncing Latin all the time.
Yes.
Last year, Meninga was the special teams coordinator for the Vanderbilt Commodores of the SEC, which they call it that because spelling out the real words is hard.
Jordan Rogers, alumni school, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay Cutler.
That's true. Jay Cutler and Skip Bayless go there?
Three very hateable people. Wow. Good job, Vanderbilt.
He doesn't have any ties to McVay either, but kind of impressively, he does have ties to Pettine. He was the assistant special teams coordinator in Cleveland during the time when Pettine was there. And so he does have some ties there. And he worked with Chris Tabor, who was the special teams coordinator while Pettine was there in Cleveland. So he does have some ties to Pettine, and that's at least something. Keeps him with the staff, and somebody who must have at least said something for him there. Maurice Drayton stays on the Packers staff. He was the special teams assistant coordinator last year, and he stays on to be the assistant coordinator again this year. So at this point, the only things we're really missing are they don't have a cornerbacks coach, but Jason Simmons, who was the safeties coach last year, is now the secondary coach. So it's kind of unclear whether or not they're going to hire a specific position coach for cornerbacks. And they don't have an assistant offensive line coach. The other thing that they had last year that they have not brought in at this point would be the run game coordinator and the pass game coordinator. That was what Campen and Witt did the last couple of years. But there's no guarantee that those are going to be spots on this staff going forward anyhow, so that just might not happen. Not everybody has that. So
that's just a ridiculous redundancy in coaching. I mean, it's good if you can get it, but I mean, and you know that those coaches are the ones that get dumped on the worst, but, you know, with the dumbest jobs, but my Lord. Yeah. Punt analysis coach? Can I be the punt analysis coach?
Right. The hitting coach in baseball. Go up there right. And hit it. Bowling coach.
Put that ball over the fence. Good job.
Yeah, try to be a bowling coach or something. You know, that's what we want to do.
Knock down all the pins. Good job.
Are you sure?
Oh, you left one up. Go get it. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So the next thing to think about here is the Packers are going to be heading into free agency. The first thing we want to talk about is Packers do have free agents out there who will be on this market, and some of them might have some value. One of the big names, of course, Clay Matthews, who played last year for $13.2 million.
Too much money.
Yeah, yeah. For a guy who played something like 65% of the snaps, definitely hurtful to have him making that much money.
It is, and you know what? And I've said this, and I'll stand by it, too. Clay Matthews, I would like to see have his career end in Green Bay. There is nothing wrong with Clay Matthews. I mean, he's been here. He's a great personality for the team. He's done a lot of good for the team, marketing-wise, early on, playing-wise. I mean, him and Aaron Rodgers, face of the team, for over a decade now, you know? And so I think it'd be fitting for him to end here. But at the same time, with that kind of production and that kind of the kind of production we've been seeing, I mean, he still can do a role. If we have another outside linebacker or pass rusher to complement him, he could be the weak side rusher, no problem. Or like we were going to talk about with Belaga coming up here, like more in a reduced role, you know, like coming in on third downs, not playing all the time. I mean, you do need veteran guys on your team that can do that kind of stuff, and he's still serviceable. So Jim Widener is probably going to completely disagree with me, but I mean, him and I'm going to say this about a couple of the veterans, and the key thing behind a lot of them is locker room presence and face of the franchise. We're down to not too many faces of the franchise left anymore. Devontae Adams has stepped up nicely in the last couple of years. Aaron Rodgers, obviously. We got a new coach who nobody knows.
Mike Daniels, come on, he's a guy everybody loves.
I mean, Mike Daniels, but he's a deep.
He's a
defensive lineman. We all know how great in Packerland Mike Daniels is, and the fine folks down in Iowa. But speaking of faces of the franchise, I mean, we don't have a lot anymore. We don't have any Chuck Woodsons anymore. We don't have any Nick Collins. We don't have any Donald Drivers. We have Jimmy Graham, but he's not the face of the franchise. I mean, he just got here and had a lackluster year. Even like people with catchy names like Ha Ha Clinton Dix, like gone. not that we should have kept him, but you know, Clay Matthews, Brian Belaga, Bakhtiari, Lindsley's getting there. John Kuhn's gone. That's another one that people identified with the Packers. I mean, it's just there's no outside of Rodgers. That's about it. And I mean, outside of Packerland, that's really it, except for Clay Matthews.
Yeah, that's fair. I guess the other couple names that come up here, Randall Cobb made $10 million last year. He'll be a free agent. Muhammad Wilkerson was making $5 million on that one-year deal. Bashaud Breeland, 880K. And that's the guy. I mean, like, of the names I have on this list, he's the guy I think is most important to get back on this team. Cornerback depth is something you can never have too many cornerbacks, especially good cornerbacks. And I think he's shown he's one of those guys. He can be very good. He was hurt some this year. I mean, we only got him because he injured his foot walking on a beach and cut himself on a seashell. So, yeah, among the other names that are on here, Jake Ryan's an unrestricted free agent. I don't care. You know, let he's there or not, I'm not going to worry too much.
Who's our old catcher on the Brewers? Lucroy.
Lucroy. Love Lucroy.
Do you remember how he broke his hand?
Moving suitcase for his wife, right?
His wife is like either moving it or his wife moved it and landed on his hand. He missed like 6 weeks. Yeah. Sorry, that just popped into my head, and it took me until now to remember Lucroy. Sorry. Anyways, moving on with Packers.
Jonathan Lucroy, who led the league in first name for so long.
Yes.
Jake Kumerow is an exclusive rights free agent. So is Robert Tonyan. And then Geronimo Allison is a restricted free agent. Those guys will definitely be back with the team, I think.
Yeah,
it's the big ones. Is Clay Matthews has to take a pay cut. Cobb probably has to take a pay cut. Wilkerson, I don't know. I guess I'm not sure. But I really, Breland's the guy I want back the most. Badger Noonan, Paul Noonan, at Badger Noonan on Twitter. He had a post up about that, and I think the winning vote was Rashad Breland. The one everyone's back. The thing to look go ahead.
And Badger Noonan also talked about how Mercedes Lewis, the Packers have three really good tight ends in theory, but the Packers did not use them. And the only time Lance Kendricks had a chance to catch a ball, he dropped it for the big play. Mercedes Lewis, we have to get him back. Like, he is a great blocker, and he's not old. He's not washed up. They just didn't use him.
He is kind of old yet. I mean, he may not be washed up, but he is an older guy. He's been around quite a while now at this point. The guys to look forward to, too, people who should be looking at getting some extensions here in the near future, we would hope. Mike Daniels is one of the names coming up next year in free agency. Kenny Clark, Jason Spriggs, Dean Lowry, Kyler Fackrell, Mason Crosby, Blake Martinez. That's coming out next year. One of the other names, and we talked about it a little bit pre-show, Brian Bulaga. Brian Bulaga coming up next year. He's going to play for $5 million this year. Some people are talking about cutting ties with Brian Bulaga, and I just don't get it. My father-in-law has wanted him cut for 2 or 3 years because he says he's always injured. Brian Bulaga played 72.7% of snaps last year. Corey Linsley played 100%, but almost nobody else did that. I think Bakhtiari played 96%, but
would have played 100% if it would have been an important season.
Yeah, maybe he had to come out a couple plays here and there.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, Bulaga's injuries are overrated. He's been there for most games. When you say he hasn't played all 16, Rodgers left several games early too. You know, he's going to talk about cutting people just because they're hurt. Bulaga plays through a lot. Bulaga plays great. He's one of the best pass blocking right tackles in football. Top three in terms of pass blocking right tackles. So I don't understand the idea to get rid of him. It doesn't make sense.
And the dude crushes dingers in the Packers charity softball game too. That guy can hit. And we talked about this in the pre-show. Like, even at $5 million, like, starting quality, yes. Getting a little long in the tooth. We didn't even look it up, but I think his first season, he was either a rookie or a second-year player when they went to the Super Bowl. So he's been around for a while. For $5 million and whatever, he's not going to command any more than that going forward because he is getting older. But, I mean, just to have him around as a depth guy and, like I said, as a face of the franchise guy, locker room guy, I think it'd be stupid to get rid of him. I mean, what are you going to get that's better than him for $5 million?
Yeah, for $5 million is the big question.
Let's do that stupid math. Okay, you got rid of him. Now what? Okay. Yeah. It's always that thing about, let's cut this guy. And then what? Because now we have to find someone at least as good. Oh, no, we just have to find someone different. No, you have to find someone at least as good. And like you said, 72% of the snaps, yeah. And he gets a knock for missing. I think he's missed – two. Well, he missed almost one entire year. I know that. I don't have it up in front of me right now. And they missed a big chunk of another year. Well, guess who else did? 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. He's missed almost two entire seasons. And the thing is, the difference between him coming, between Rodgers coming back from his collarbone surgeries, one of which was very ill-advised 2 years ago, and then the other one just in time to beat the Bears. Yes. Anyways, did you see that when he got his NFL honors award?
Yeah, Rodgers saying, so everybody is just great to beat the Bears. So,
yeah, just turns around and goes, Favre knows this one. Speaking to Brett Favre, it's just great to beat the Bears.
We did.
Awesome. Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. But, so, I mean, yeah, so to wrap it up, yeah, keep Bulaga. If Randall Cobb can come back and somebody doesn't pay him an exorbitant amount of money to be a slot receiver somewhere, like, I don't know, some crap team like Buffalo, you know, then if he comes back for something reasonable, yes, you know, because we're running out of character players on this team, and next thing you know, it's just going to be a bunch of rookies. So
that's true. Yeah, and that's about all we have for Packers Talk this week. We'll keep looking and keep talking about free agency and where the Packers are going to be looking and what we should be evaluating as we get going forward here. But in terms of the next sport, we talk a little Brewers, mostly just in passing. The Brewers have been talking with Dallas Keuchel. They also are still in talks with Corey Kluber. If they get both those guys, then just, you know, sign them up for the postseason. It's going to be great. But
lock it up.
There's no chance they get them both. And likelihood, given my lifelong obsession with the Brewers, is that they will get neither.
Yeah, they will get neither, nor will they get Mad Bomb or anybody else. They didn't get Sonny Gray. They'll just be rolling into the season with Chassin again, which is fine. But
yeah, they're going to be fine. And, you know, just it'd be nice to get one of those two guys just as somebody else in there and to show that they're for real, that they're out to get players and to build this team and to do things with it. And it's exciting to watch. And, you know, it's just a fun little thing we do now at this point for following Wisconsin sports, because we don't count on the Brewers signing anything because there's no salary cap and we get screwed. So
yeah. But the thing is, and you know, like we talked about during the pre-show too, is that the nice thing about Dallas Keuchel is that he's a free agent. So the Brewers wouldn't have to give up anything for him, which means that they could still give up something for Kluber. So that gives you a ray of hope that you could have Kluber 1, Keuchel 2, and Chassin 3. And then we'll see in October.
The ghost of Jimmy Nelson.
And the ghost of Jimmy Nelson, number 5. But, yeah, we won't get any of them.
No. And in talking with our friend, he doesn't always like having his name put on the podcast. So we'll try B.
Who's that, Brandon?
No, B. Carlin? No, that's too obvious. Brandon C. He was saying he doesn't really want Kluber because he's afraid they'll just have to give up too much and they don't have enough left right now in the minors to make sure they still have a system going forward. So
I just saw that the Brewers are ranked like 25th in farm system right now, which, I mean,
it's cyclical. We just brought up a bunch of guys.
Right, and I was just going to say that. You used the bigger word. I was just going to say, just wait a year, because next year will be the number 3 team, because that's how that works. And of course, someone like the Padres will always be number 1, because they don't do anything. Anyways.
Just trading away talent to get in something else. Anyhow, moving on to our basketball segment, which will be most of our show today, I think. Badgers men's basketball, now ranked number 19 in the country, 4th in the Big Ten. 16-6 overall, 8-3 in the Big Ten. The only teams ahead of them are Michigan, Michigan State, and Purdue. Michigan, Michigan State, and Purdue are all 9-2. They're all 9-2 and just one game ahead of the Badgers in the Big Ten. So
the Badgers were dead to rights after that Maryland loss. I mean, 2 weeks ago this season's done.
Yeah, it was definitely. It was definitely a difficult spot to be put in there, but since then, the Badgers 5 straight wins. Some of them we predicted. I mean, the Michigan one I did not see coming, but then we said they're going to roll through that that Illinois stretch, through that Illinois stretch there, where they're going to be playing Illinois and Northwestern, and just getting a chance to beat up on those bottom dwellers. But then they got to play Nebraska. They beat Nebraska ball 62-51. Nebraska started off the season with some high hopes. They looked really good. They looked like a team that had some chances. And this season has started to fall apart for them down the stretch here. They now lost here. The Badgers held them. I'll try to get the numbers here too. 17 of 60 shooting. That's 28.3% from the floor. Ooh. 4 of 20 from 3. 20% from 3-point line. I mean, you can't win shooting like that.
No, no. So, is that good defense or is that Nebraska ball being that bad?
No, because the Badgers did the same thing Maryland, basically. I mean, Maryland's a better shooting team, but they... Let's see. I'm trying to find out what they're... They held Maryland to 25 of 56 shooting from the floor. It's 44.6% and 8 of 20 from 3. So it's like, yeah, I mean, that's not terrible shooting, but that's not what Maryland normally is shooting out there, I think.
Yeah, the 8 for 20 from 3 is okay, but you know, the field goal percentage, yeah. Yeah, how about that?
Keep it on below 50%. That's a good day. And that was a home game, but they played Nebraska in Nebraska. It looked like they were going to throw this one away. They were up, 28 to 21 at half. With 15:41 left in the game, though, it was tied at 32 all. So Nebraska came out, had a great run to start the second half. And then actually from 15:41 on for a bit, Nebraska led up until Charles Thomas IV hit a three-pointer. Yes. And tied the game at 40 with 11:38 left. And then for the last 11:38, the Badgers outscored them 21-11. So they do have that factor on this team of playing to their competition, and it can drive you insane because they tend to start off slowly. I mean, when they play big games, they seem to know that they can't do that because they went out to they played Maryland this week, and they hung with Maryland in the first half. It was 36-31 at halftime. I mean, they were losing, but then they beat Maryland 38-25 in the second half. The Badgers kill people in the second halves of games, it seems like. They just let them hang around so long in that first half that it doesn't seem to matter.
Right. So I was looking something else up. You were talking about the low score. You said something about a game being tied late. Not Wisconsin sports related. Tangent. Here we go. Did you see that Wolfpack Hokies games? The score of that basketball game?
No.
Lowest scoring game in the shot clock era by a ranked team. The Hokies beat the Wolfpack 47-24.
Okay. No, I didn't see that.
The Wolfpack scored 24 points in a college basketball game.
Well, that's something.
That's crazy. Sorry. Anyway, so moving along.
Anyhow, the big thing is the Badgers didn't manage to shoot great for free throws against Nebraska, hitting just 45.5%, 5 of 11 from their free throws. Hap finished the game at 10 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. Davison led both games in scoring. He had 13 points against Nebraska and then 21 against Maryland to lead the team in scoring both games. Davison's a sophomore. So is Trice and so is Reavers. So there's plenty of talent on this team going forward. Hap has definitely been leading this team in terms of that great senior leadership and putting up points. He's had a couple games with that, like, 10 points, 10 rebound kind of line. But, you know, somebody else always seems to find a place to step up. They don't always get a lot of help from that bench, though. I think they only got 13 points against Nebraska, and that's 8 from Brevin Pritzel, and 5 from Thomas. So those two players on the bench scored any points. They did have several more against Maryland, it looks like. They had 18 bench points. Maryland only managed 7. So, yeah, they're finding places to get points. They're finding places to get wins. This team doesn't shoot free throws like we'd like. This team does not get defensive rebounds like you'd like. Number of offensive rebounds that our opponents get is disquieting and upsetting and frustrating, and it's the reason we drink.
Disquieting is a word, huh?
Yes.
I've never heard that word before in my life.
That is a word.
Oh, I was going to bring that up to you, too, because you're talking about the free throw percentage. And Ethan Happ, who has a field goal percentage of 5.56, which is good. I mean, he's a big dude. He's usually by the
hoop. That's not good for anybody. I'm sorry.
I said for field goal.
Field
goal percentage of 5.56.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's good for him in his career. You know, he's right around there all the time, right in the mid 5.5s. 5.50s. His free throw percentage is, he has a better field goal percentage than his free throw percentage. His free throw percentage is 4.74.
Jeez. Yeah.
Below 500.
Yeah. It's hard. I don't understand it.
His freshman year, his free throw percentage was 6.43, which is okay for a big guy. And it's just progressively gotten worse every year.
And it makes no sense. Like, he's a guy who's going to get fouled. He plays to contact. He's got quick feet, but he gets fouled. How does he not get better at free throws? It makes no sense.
But he gets fouled. Yeah, he does. But he's only averaging 4.4 free throws attempts a game. How is that possible for a big guy? Right. How does he not? He should be averaging that a half.
Yeah, it's just weird the way that seems to work out. And I don't understand it at all. They should be drawing more contact. These guards don't drive to the hole as much as they used to in the Badger games that I used to watch. They're content with that three-point shooting, and they move the ball around a lot, but they don't draw contact for all this team. And, you know, maybe that's just it's the cause. Maybe it's caused by their free throw shooting, and maybe it's the cause of their free throw shooting. I don't know. Maybe it's a de-emphasis on the free throw shooting that's leading to that. Or maybe it's just because they don't do it because they know they can't shoot their free throws.
Well, and what's crazy about the free throw attempts on Hap is that you'd think that people would go whack-a-shack on him and put him at the line because he can't shoot free throws.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
absolutely. All of his points are being scored off field goals.
Okay. Yeah, so the Badgers get a tough stretch here. I mean, they got Minnesota at Minnesota, and they hopefully get a chance feeling like they should get revenge for that. But then they're going to go play at Michigan, number 7 Michigan. And then they got number 9 Michigan State coming into the Kohl Center after that next Tuesday. But then after that, it really isn't so bad down the stretch. Their last several games here, it's Illinois, at Northwestern, at Indiana, Penn State at home, at number 20 Iowa, and at Ohio State.
They got Iowa at home.
Yeah, Iowa at home. Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. Yeah. Number 20 Iowa at home.
It makes a difference.
That is the 13th, 11th, 9th, 14th, 6th, and 8th place teams in the Big Ten right now.
No, if they can pull 2 out of 3 out of these next three games, they'll be sitting pretty good going into that final stretch.
There's a chance, you know, that they could finish, 15 and 5 is very attainable for this team in the Big Ten. 15-5 in there, and that could be just a great way to work themselves into the tournament and to get themselves ready for, you know, actually maybe doing something in this tournament here.
So, right. Well, for a while there, after they lost 4 out of 5 games, I was starting to think, are they even going to make the NIT? You know, so this is a much better place for them to be in, where they might actually have a shot at. I don't know if they can win the Big Ten, but, you know, at least they have a shot at it, you know.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to beat Michigan and Michigan State if they get into that tournament, but I think they've got a chance to just look good and have a decent run, and that's really that's a big step up from where I thought they were 2 weeks ago, I guess. So feeling good about that and building to it. In terms of the professional basketball in the state of Wisconsin, we have
unbelievable.
Bucks definitely stepped back up. Last week we covered in how they had the one falling off after a 6-game win streak, had it snapped by Oklahoma City last week, and you know, we weren't bemoaning that. That's a tough game in a tough place,
right.
And the Bucks played well. They just didn't get it. They just didn't finish that game.
Right. Yeah.
So
at OKC as well. You know, absolutely. It's a good loss. It was a good loss.
That's not a thing. But I mean, like, they followed that up. They had that tough loss, a reasonable loss, but then they followed that up by going 4-0 on a continued road streak. They won 4 straight road games. They won at Detroit. They won at Toronto. They won at Washington. They won in Brooklyn. Sam Decker's Washington Bullets. No, Washington Wizards. Sorry.
just crush the Bullets too. Sorry, I'll roll with it. We'll go with old school names. Sure, they're not PC. Let's do it.
Toronto, what? Yeah. No, that's not a team.
No. Canadians don't know how to play basketball.
We're gonna go old school. We don't get to talk about Toronto and Brooklyn.
Proven point on Canadians not knowing how to play basketball. Andrew Wiggins. Oh,
too soon.
Yeah, no, prove me wrong.
No, I won't.
So that was a. I mean, like you said, what's most impressive about it? Yeah, you look at it, and it's the Pistons. You know, three of the teams are the Pistons, the Wizards, and the Nets. And let's see, look at the standings. Pistons below 500. They're being the ninth seed. Ninth seed, Wizards in the 10th seed. They're basically the same team. And then where is Brooklyn? Oh, that's right. Brooklyn's the number 6 team. So I was like, they're at the bottom. Oh, no, wait. Sorry, wrong New York team. That's the Knicks. Anyways, great organization they have there in Manhattan.
Over there, burning Porzingis jerseys.
Oh, Porzingis. The organization is so bad that he asked to get out of there. You know, where you get the most market exposure, media exposure, you can build your brand. They love him there. He asked to leave New York. That's how bad your team is. And they're so delusional that they think that they're going to have Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and Zion Williamson on their team next year.
Market share. I mean, like, your city's market doesn't matter in this age because everybody's on TV and everybody's got social media. Who cares where you're playing?
Well, in the NBA, it could be argued that if you're not on a coast, you're pretty much not. Because that's what it is. It's East Coast or West Coast, and Houston is technically on a coast. So
the league is fixed. That's what causes this. Is the league fixed?
by market. Yeah. So that's where the that's where the market share comes into it. You know. So New York's obviously the biggest market in the United States, and they can easily support two teams, no problem. Having that trade. I mean, man, you have to want to get out of there. But then again, the Knicks too. They're a horrible organization. They're trying to clear out money, blah 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 blah, so they can sign Kevin Durant and Curry. Anyways, this isn't the New York Minute on the Scotty Johnny podcast. But you know, a four-game road trip, all over the place. They went from OKC to Detroit to Toronto to Washington to New York, and now they're going to be back home against the Wizards on Wednesday night. I don't care. Winning four games on the road, regardless, is awesome. They've won 9 out of their last 10. They're unbelievable. All this trade talk about Anthony Davis and this and that, it seems to have like kind of fortified the team, if anything else. I, for one, at this point, don't want them to get Anthony Davis, even though Anthony Davis said there's only 4 teams that he'd sign long-term with if he got traded to, and that would be L.A., the Knicks, the Bucks. And one other team. I can't think of the other team. But, yeah, basically Anthony Davis said if he goes to the Bucks, he'll sign a long-term deal, which it's tempting, but – and especially with the Bucks losing so many people or so many people potentially at the end of the year. But, hey, let's just enjoy the ride of the Bucks right now because this is fantastic.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And, I mean, we don't have a whole lot more to break down. This team just is who we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. Giannis is unbelievable. He puts up, 37 against the Detroit game. He's got over 30 a couple games there. He played great. He led in all 3 categories in 2 to the 4 games here. And, I mean, you know, points, rebounds, and assists. He's been playing lights out. And the rest of the team, enough of them score enough that they can just walk past a lot of teams, and that's been great. And they're beating the teams they're supposed to beat.
Right. And now they have the tiebreaker on Toronto. They've won they've only played one more game against Toronto, so they've won 3, so that could come in at the end of the year. You know, And the team still leads the league in point differential. They're beating almost every opponent by 10 points, 9.8. They're only giving up 107, which, just quick looking at the stat sheet here real quick, I think that puts them fourth in the league for points allowed, third or fourth for points allowed. So they're playing really well. Coach Bood has got this team playing. This is a team that if he would have had this team in Atlanta, he would never have left Atlanta. I mean, he never really had a real good team in Atlanta. So this is, I would be disappointed if they don't at least get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
I think that's fair. Yeah. I mean, like I said, the NBA is a team that by this point in the season, you basically know who everybody is and where they're going to finish in the playoffs. Unless you've got somebody like the Lakers who didn't care back when they had Shaq, they didn't care about the season. Or, right. You know, Cleveland, who never cared because they knew they were going to the finals with LeBron anyhow. So,
right. They're the number 8 seed. Then they beat the number 1 seed. Now they're the number 1 seed. Anyways.
Yeah. So that's all we've got really in terms of all the major sporting events here in Wisconsin. But we do like to give you the full rundown on most of the rest of Wisconsin sports. We like to give that to you quickly here in the tail.
Rapid fire time now with the tail, covering Wisconsin's other sporting events.
So, Aaron, of course, the biggest thing we cover in the tail is college hockey.
Yes.
UW men's hockey, they had a rough week. They went and played Michigan State. They were playing at Munn Ice Arena. They lost on the first game, the Friday game, to the Michigan State Spartans 4-1. The lone goal came from Ty Emberson, assisted by Keandre Miller and Dominic Mersch. So that's a tough loss. They got down 3-1, got a late goal, and then just, you know, nothing much else mattered after that. They got outshot 31-28. They were in the shots, just, you know, didn't get them in the right spots, couldn't get anything behind the goalie. Saturday game, though, they came back, had a 2-2 tie, got a tie out of this one in a road match with the Spartans. It was 2-1, and then the Spartans got a late power play goal to tie it up. Will Johnson got the goal at 3:29 into the first period from Peter Tischke. And then the Badgers did take the lead again when Linus Weisbach got an assist from Keandre Miller and Ty Emberson. Wisconsin led this game in shots on goal, 54-31. That's pretty incredible.
Sorry, what was that?
54-31 shots on goal to Wisconsin. And that's including the fact that Michigan State outshot them 6-1 in the overtime period.
Wow.
So not
like
not,
in a men's Division I game.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Wow. And didn't get the win though. So it's you got to make those shots count better than what they're getting. Anyhow, UW women's hockey, actually big shocker this week. They split with Bemidji State, the Bemidji State Beavers. Of course, with a name like that, you know it's a Minnesota team with some sort of strange name. They have a kind of...
At least it's not the Bemidji State... Johnny's, let's hear. The Johnny's, the Tommy's,
the Bemidji's.
Bemidji State Bemidji's?
Yeah, I guess, I don't know.
Anyways.
So they played at Sanford Center. They played at Bemidji. And the game-winning goal was a power play goal. It was a 2-1 loss to Bemidji State on the Friday game. They actually outshot Bemidji 30-18. They came back the next night and, of course, went right back to being Wisconsin. Won 4-0. They had a scoreless first period, but then Sam Kogan got two goals, one in the first period. No, I'm sorry, they're both in the second period. 1 minute in. Got a goal from Sophie Shirley and Abby Roque. And then at 8:39 into the second period, there was a power play goal from Emily Clark and Annie Pankowski, our favorite. Britta Curl and Maddie Rolfs rounded out the scoring. This was helped out a little bit, though, in that Minnesota split with UMD over the weekend. So,
right.
But unfortunately, Wisconsin drops to number two in the rankings.
That is the big takeaway right there, is that Minnesota did jump them this week. You are correct.
Yeah, so Wisconsin now gets 5 of the 15 first-place votes and drops to number 2 by 4 points. In terms of D3 men's, UWSP men remain undefeated. They beat Stout 3-1 at the Dane County Ice Arena. They got goals from B.J. Duffin, from Ryan Bittner, and Travis Carty. And then one from, those were 3 goals. I got that wrong when I'm writing this down wrong. BJ Duffy, Ryan Bittner, and Tanner Carty got goals. Each of them were assisted by Stephen Bove. He got three assists, which we used to call the playmaker. So basically almost like a hat trick, except for it's just assists. They played in front of 358 crazy fans at the Dunn County Ice Arena. The next night, they came back and played Superior at the KB Willett in front of almost 2,000 fans in Stevens Point.
I wonder which school is more into their hockey program.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, well, Stout didn't used to have a team back when I was watching in the 90s. Steven.
I was going to say 2,000 people. The year that in the heydays in the early 2000s when UW Superior won their national championship and were in the national championship picture year in and year out. God, we maybe got 1,500 people into Westman. Yeah, 2,000 people for a D3 game. Well, that's crazy.
Almost two. It was 1,872 announced attendance.
That's
Stephen Quagliata got a goal from Tanner Carty, and then Zach Zech got the second goal, which ended up being the game-winning goal from Luke McElhaney. Austin Kelly and Tanner Carty also got goals in that game. It was a 4-1 win over UW Superior. UW Eau Claire did not play this week. Right now, UWSP is ranked 1 in men's hockey in D3. UW Eau Claire,
and it's not even close. They have all the first place votes too. It's not even close.
Yeah, they are ranked. Let's see, Eau Claire is ranked 3, and St. Norbert's over in De Pere, they are ranked 5. So, and this should tell you where the power is in D3 hockey. Of the top 5 teams in men's hockey right now, 3 are in Wisconsin and 2 are in New York. The 6th place team is the Augsburg Auggies in Minneapolis. But so yeah, other than that though, it is 2 New York schools, 3 Wisconsin schools, and the 6th place team is from Minnesota.
And the only other Minnesota team that even got any votes was St. Thomas. Wow.
Yeah.
D3 is almost devoid of Minnesota schools.
This year,
yes.
It is normally a New York and Wisconsin-based kind of area, too. Just in terms of where the power has been in D3 hockey, it used to be RIT, Rochester Institute of Technology, used to be a D3 school. Mm-hmm. They are now playing D1. Some of the other schools that play, Oswego and Geneseo are the two teams. The Geneseo Knights from Geneseo, New York. Oswego Lakers from Oswego. Of course, Lakers is a terrible name. That's just a terrible name for a sports team or any sort of school name.
Thank you.
And of course, Turtle Lake. What were the Turtle Lake? What were you guys?
I don't think I need to answer that question, jerk.
No, I know.
Lake of Pride.
No, I'm just kidding you. That's fine.
It was the Turtle Lake Turtles. Turtles? No, that doesn't work.
The Yurtles.
Lakeys? That turtle like snorkels.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes way more sense if there's lake in your city name, obviously. In terms of women's hockey, UW River Falls remains ranked number 4. They are 19-2-0. They swept UW Superior this week, 4-2 and 2-1.
The Turtle Lake out of control property taxes?
Yeah, sure.
Nah. Yeah, sure.
River Falls will go play University of St. Thomas, the number 1 ranked Tommies this week, and then we'll finish up against number 9 Eau Claire. Number 9 Eau Claire was 17-4-2 overall. They swept UWSP 4-1 and 9-1 over the weekend here. And that, ladies and gentlemen, for this week is the tale. Well, we're going to get you out of here this week. We're going to finish up with our last thoughts and what we like to call the last call.
Time to look around and get your bearings, because it's time for the last call.
Aaron, my last call this week is going to be about the Patriots. We just watched the Super Bowl. Some people said it wasn't horribly interesting. The big thing is that we need to remember that the MVP is Julian Edelman, a man who was suspended for 4 games this season for cheating. He was thrown the ball by Tom Brady, who was suspended 2 years ago for cheating. And, of course, led by Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft, a coach and an owner who were both fined for cheating. And nobody talks about that. Nobody cares. Because it's the NFL, and cheating's not a problem. The big point is that, really, Ryan Braun should have played football. I'm not saying he'd be good at football, but nobody cares really if you cheat. Richard Sherman got off on a drug test that he failed in exactly the same way that Ryan Braun got off. They screwed up the test. All right, they had a problem with the cup, and they threw it out, even though he tested positive for Adderall, which you're not allowed to have because he doesn't have ADHD or a prescription. And that's a problem. But nobody cares, and nobody ever holds it against Richard Sherman. Nobody cares at all, and nobody cares that you cheat. So Ryan Braun really should have tried to get a little bigger, and Ryan Braun should have played football. If you're starting your history, and you go back, and you start talking about the NFL, and you start listing, hey, this is the only team to have done this in, and you don't start with the beginning of the NFL, you're an idiot. The idea that we start NFL history from Super Bowl I is stupid. It just is. The Patriots do not have the most NFL championships. They're not tied with the Steelers for the most NFL championships. They are fourth. They are tied for fourth with the Steelers. The Packers, Bears, and Giants have all won more championships than the Patriots. Yeah, the Patriots weren't around for some of that time, but you know what? The NFL was. There were other teams there. Some of them have folded, gone out since then. Maybe there are more teams now, but what that means now is there are a lot of players playing now who couldn't have made an NFL roster just 30 years ago. And to try to say things about this and try to talk about the Patriots as the greatest of all time without actually talking about all time is ridiculous. In fact, the Patriots right now have two more championships than the Browns and the Lions. And if you don't know that, then you shouldn't be talking about the greatest of all time. And one of the things, too, is anytime you have a conversation where you talk about the greatest of all time and you have to say there's no argument, there's no way of arguing anything else, then you don't get it. There's no way you can have 100 years, which next year is the 100th year of NFL football, 100 years of the NFL or of any sport, really, and say Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback and you can't argue with that. Well, then you didn't look at anything else because Johnny Hughes in that conversation and Bart Starr's in the conversation, and Brett Favre's in the conversation, and Manning's in the conversation, and Sammy Baugh's in that conversation, and Y.A. Tittle's in that conversation. Because there's a conversation to be had, and there's an argument for any one of those players to be that guy. And there was a point in 1999 and 2000 where people on ESPN told me that John Elway has to be the greatest quarterback of all time, if not at least top three, and there's no arguing that. And nobody puts him top 10 now. Because you can always argue that. And if you don't think you can argue those things, then you weren't paying attention and you didn't actually make an argument. The last thing I want to say is congratulations to Mark Johnson. He will be having his number retired. He has several UW hockey records. He has the record for most goals in a season, 48. Most goals as a freshman, 36. Most goals as a sophomore, 48. And most goals overall. Most goals as a junior as well, with 41. He was with several Badger teams. He's their all-time leading scorer. He was also an Olympian on the 1980 team. He's getting his number retired. He is now the coach of the women's hockey team and the winningest coach in women's hockey history. About time, and congratulations to Mark Johnson for getting his number retired.
Boy, I thought when you were starting that, you started off talking about you're going to do your last thing about the Patriots. I thought you were finally going to apologize to me. That's crazy. But
that is,
and on that list of quarterbacks of all time for consideration, you definitely left off Bernie Kosar. So you take that. You take that back. You take that back. Well, you took your end of the show a little bit more seriously than me. I'm just going to bring up a couple of small things I saw during the week. You shared a tweet earlier this week. I'm going to start off by making some fun of the Vikings. Kevin McDermott, the long snapper of the Minnesota Vikings, put out a tweet that was almost immediately deleted, and not before some of us cunning Twitter users like yourself and I got a screenshot of the tweet. It was during the middle of the polar vortex of 2019, and he put out a picture of him standing outdoors in a Vikings away jersey. Now, that should tip somebody off, and I wish that this didn't get enough play, I think, on Twitter, but the picture was obviously, and the tweet said, it's Vikings weather, snowflake, 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 snowflake. And the picture was obviously of him at Lambeau Field because, of course, the Minnesota Vikings do not play outside when they're at home. No, they don't even practice outside when they're at home. They practice at their brand new facility, TCO, whatever they call it. And then, of course, they play at TCA.
U.S. Bank.
U.S. Bank Stadium. Sorry, I was getting confused with the Gophers. The Gophers who do play outdoors. Stadium. So, of course, the Vikings always play at room temperature on shag carpet. Shame on you, Kevin McDermott. And, of course, he saw the error in his ways and deleted almost right away. I am getting in the mood for baseball here, by the way, John. This whole time we've been podcasting, I've been watching Sierra del Caribe. Vive desde Estudio Roncaru, ESPN Deportes, Baseball, República Dominicana versus Puerto Rico. In the background, because I've, you know, trying to get ready for the baseball season, or as I like to call it, Buster Olney season. And Fernando Tatis's Dominican Republic is up over Puerto Rico right now, 2-1. So I'm getting back into the baseball spirit. And Tony Romo, he's a good Wisconsin boy. We've talked about him numerous times. I believe he should have been the MVP of the Super Bowl because, while the game was not a bad game, it was a defensive game, and it did have its ups and downs, and it was tight, you know, and it was low scoring, which isn't fun. Everybody wants to see Rams, Chiefs on Thursday Night Football, but it was a good game. Tony Romo did a great job as a color analysis guy to keep it light. Jim Nance can be over pretentious as a play-by-play guy. I really wish that Kevin Harlan was put on CBS, and they could have Kevin Harlan and Tony Romo as a team for the CBS call. But Tony Romo really did a great job. Having done high school football on the radio and done some games that were clunkers where there's not a lot to talk about, and in high school you're stuck by yourself calling Cloquet versus Marshall up north in Minnesota. Tony Romo did an excellent job of actually bringing some humor into it, which the only humor that's ever come out of a color analysis guy was the humor that came from John Madden unintentionally. So thank you, Tony Romo, for making this guy, he goes, when he runs, he goes faster. Thank you, Tony Romo, for making the Super Bowl enjoyable. Yes. That is all, John.
Perfect. Wonderful again, Aaron. And as always, everybody, remember you can follow us at jbarn54, at ScannyJohnny1, and at CheddarTalk. And of course, you can email us too at ScannyJohnny@gmail.com. And just remember to go in, listen to us wherever it is you find your podcasts. If you do listen on iTunes, please make sure to give us a review and give us the 5-star ratings wherever you are. It helps other people find the show. We try to share this on Twitter and on Facebook. Please make sure you go and share that as well. It makes it easier for everyone else to try to find us and make this easier to get this out to as many people as possible. And again, as we get ready from this week and heading off into many different things here, remember that whether you are on the town or on the go, that it is always on Wisconsin.
Give me that SSM, Ron Caru, ESPN Deportes, baseball, and we're going to come out.
Surrounding you.